I'd like to take a little poll this morning. How many of you think it's important for Christians to spend time alone with God in prayer and pray our scripture reading? Okay. And how many of you think that it's important for you personally as a Christian to spend time with God? Great. And how many of you think you need to spend more time with God? Okay. Hope you picked up on a theme here today with the songs that we chose, the hymns we've chosen, of being near to God, wanting God to be near to us, making that place that we need God, making room for God. I want to confess to you this morning that even though a few weeks ago I was on vacation, the last several weeks I've been feeling a little burnt out. I don't know if it's the long year of COVID or what, but just a little burnt out. And I had to ask myself, why? Why am I feeling this way? And the reason is because I haven't been refreshing myself regularly in God's Word. God said, like the rain He sends to water and nourish the earth, His Word goes forth and does not come back to Him without accomplishing its task. To rain down upon and nurture His people, to refresh His people. But if you want to be refreshed and nourished, you have to what? You have to stand in the rain of God to be covered with it. And I haven't been doing that. I was in God's Word preparing sermons and Bible studies for you, but I wasn't taking that personal time. And even though I'm in this Word, When I'm preparing a sermon, I'm saying, God, what do you want for your people? I'm His mouthpiece to you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that word is right now beneficial to me. So we as pastors, we need to have that special time. And I was neglecting that. And I'm working on that. But I had to ask myself, well, why don't I have time? Why am I not spending this time in God's Word? And the reason is, or at least what I said was, I'm too busy. Can anyone relate to that struggle of being too busy to find time to open up the Bible and read? And so the question I ask myself and you this morning is, how can we make room for God in our lives, make room for God in our schedules? And many people have asked this question, is there room in my day for God? And said no. I mean, they want it to be there, and they know they need that time with God, and they yearn for that sacred time, but they're like, where can I carve out any more time in my day? Well, fortunately for us, the saints of old who have gone before us have left us a legacy of experience that I want to remind you of this morning. One lesson they have passed on to us is the value of spiritual fasting. If we are honest, many of us are not very good at practicing the spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible study, meditation and fasting. And of all the spiritual disciplines, probably fasting is the one we neglect the most. When we think of fasting, most of us think of giving up food or drink. And the only time we usually think about it is right before Easter, during Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter. But fasting can be done any time, and it can come, or we can fast from anything. Fasting is just giving something up, sacrificing something for a short while. And when we think about fasting, like I said, we usually think of it during Lent and Easter because Jesus gave something up. He sacrificed something, didn't he? He sacrificed His life for us. But even before that, the 40 days of Lent are to be a mirror of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness when He was preparing to start His ministry. And what was He doing in the wilderness? He was fasting. He fasted from food and drink, and He spent all of that time getting closer to His Father. He was praying, and He was in that place. When we give up something, whether it be chocolate, alcohol, whatever it may be, when we give that up, whatever it is, it tends to make us feel closer to Jesus. Like we've made a connection to Christ. And that's precisely what fasting is about. When Jesus was out there in the wilderness and he fasted, it was to prepare for his ministry, getting time with his Father and praying. And you see, fasting, when we fast, it makes room for God in our lives. When we give up something, it's an opening for us to fill that void now with God. However, fasting isn't to be done in isolation. We don't fast for fasting's sake. Fasting is always, always to be accompanied by prayer. Praying, that personal time with God that most of us a few minutes ago said we need more of. In fasting, we abstain from something. But it doesn't have to be food and drink. It can be anything that takes us away from God. But we abstain from it, and it can teach us some things about ourselves. At the least, it humbles us as it reveals just how much of our peace and our self-esteem and our pleasure depends on whatever it is we've given up. It can also show us how much we use whatever we've given up. And to cover up, to self-meditate, or medicate. Because oftentimes the things, you know, we use things to make us feel better, to help us get out of our sadness or our depression. And we learn some things about ourselves. I dare to guess that many of us have struggled at some type with dieting and weight loss. And I bet most of us have wrestled with that one thing that seems to sabotage our diets, and that is snacking, right? We like to snack, especially at night. Sun goes down, it's dark, we're tired, we sit down either with the television or our phones or whatever it may be, a good book, but we always want to have that little snack with us, don't we? And why are we snacking? We've just eaten a couple hours before. We're not hungry. We snack because we're bored. We snack because we're lonely. We snack because we're depressed. So how do we make room for God? How do we determine what we will fast from? Well, I think we begin by looking at our schedules, looking at our calendar. We say that we don't have time for God, but what is it that makes us so busy? And if we were to write down a weekly schedule, or even tomorrow's daily schedule, I'm sure that we would find on that list of things work, cooking meals, cleaning up those meals, housework, yard work, children's activities, and sleep. Now, those are pretty essential things, don't you think? I don't know what I could cut out of that list of things that I couldn't do without in life. But I bet if we're honest, we can find other things that are not necessarily life-sustaining. For instance, let's go back to snacking, okay? Let's just say that every night, let's just say to get up from the couch, go out into the kitchen, get the snack, prepare the snack, come back and eat that snack. Let's just say it takes 30 minutes. What if you fasted from snacking each night and you used that 30 minutes as a time of prayer with God? What about these things? How many of you have one of these, a cell phone? Okay? You have these things. Researchers say there are 185 million cell phones in the United States. And Americans look collectively at their cell phones 8 billion times a day. Work out the math on that, and the average person looks at their cell phone 46 times a day. And how long is that? Well, you add up 2 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 20 minutes there, and that adds up. The average person spends 2 hours and 51 minutes a day on their cell phone. And you add other electronic things like Kindles and other things, devices, and the researchers say it's more like 5 hours a day. Now, granted, a majority of that is those between 16 and 24 years of age. But the point is that we all are probably on our cell phones or electronic devices more than we need. And what if we were to fast from that for some time? Could we possibly fast from our smartphones for 30 to 45 minutes a day and spend that time with God? Or what if every Friday you just fasted from social media? Do you think you could find time in that day of no social media whatsoever to find time with God? To be honest with you, I got to put this phone down, okay? Now, some of you older folks are shaking your head saying, that's right, put those cell phones down, and you're smiling because you don't own one, okay? So this doesn't pertain to you, right? Well, maybe, maybe not. You see, my problem is I'm a news junkie. I absorb all kinds of news, and I you know, whether it be politics, science, sports, health, whatever, I can always find something to get interested in and read. Any news junkies out there? Okay, yeah. And so, you know, maybe you don't have a cell phone, but, you know, do you have a 24/7 news station on running all the time, whether it's CNN, Fox, MSNBC, NPR, and it's just always on, okay? Well, what if you just turn the TV off for 30 minutes or an hour every day, because it's just recycling the same stuff, right? And spend that time with God. Or what about Netflix? Yeah, any bingers out there? Okay, yeah, okay. You know, we sit down in the evening and say, I'm only going to watch one episode. And 3 hours later, at 2 a.m, you know, well, what if one night a week you fasted from Netflix, and instead of watching 2 or 3 episodes, you only watched 1 or 2, and you spent that extra hour with God, praying and drawing close to God. And I see you. Some of you older folks out there shaking your head and you're smiling again because you don't even know what Netflix is, but you know you don't have it. Therefore, I'm not talking to you, right? Not so fast, my friends, okay? You see, Netflix, for the younger generation, might be the equivalent of your stories, your soap operas, your westerns, okay, that are constantly rolling. Could you fast from one of your soap operas? Well, I can't do without the guiding light or one of those, but Bold and the Beautiful, I can get rid of that. Some of you younger folks, you know, I ask, how much sleep do you really need? You know, even some of us older ones, how much sleep do we need? Could we fast from 1 hour of sleep, get up a little bit early, and spend that time with God? And you gamers, any gamers out there, gamers of all ages, how much time do you spend playing video games, right? I think you get my point that there's a multitude of things in our daily schedules that if we chose to fast from for a short period of time, to give it up, we could find time to spend with God. Okay, so what if I do give up something? What if I do sacrifice something? How does that help me? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, when we participate in fasting, we live out our desire to work with the Holy Spirit. And as we do, we're encouraged, we're instructed, we're healed, we're challenged, we're loved, we're refreshed and renewed, and we're called to godly lives. In Ezra 8, 21 to 23, Ezra called for a fast of those people who were in exile, returning to Israel. They had been in Babylon for 70 years, and when the new king, Cyrus, came into power, he told the Jewish people, anyone who wishes to go back to Israel, you may do so. But it was 900 miles of hard and dangerous terrain to get there. And so Ezra knew that they would need God's guidance and provision if they were going to make it. So before physically preparing for the trip, he called for a fast to spiritually prepare for the trip. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before God and ask for His safe journey for us and our children. Ezra said he could have asked King Cyrus for a group of soldiers to go and protect them, But he wanted to show the people that God would protect them, God would provide for them, because God promised he would do it. And he knew that they would find that strength and that courage and that faith through prayer, drawing closer to God. So the people humbled themselves, and they fasted from food, and they prayed. And their hunger reminded them of their complete dependence upon God. And by not having to prepare a meal and gather the wood and grind the wheat and make the dough and build the fire and then cook it and clean it and all that, they took all of that time they would spend, the time they were fasting now, and they used it for prayer. And they did it seriously, because too often we kind of pray superficially. You know, we kind of just try to, you know, squeeze a prayer in between this event and that event or right before we go to sleep. You know, when we do that, we kind of reduce God to a kind of a quick service pharmacist. We're just stopping in real quick to get what we need. So true fasting prepares us spiritually for the days ahead and what God wants us to do. Two of the reasons the church fathers fasted was, one, to prepare themselves for prayer, that strong closeness to God, and two, as a way to identify with the poor and needy in their community. Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. Is it not this kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. John Wesley would often fast during the week over lunch, and the money that he would save from not buying his lunch, he would then give to the poor. Because his fasting wasn't just about going without food, but it was drawing close to God. It was to be in that time of prayer, but also to be aware of those around him and the needs that they had. Fasting from anything benefits the person doing it, but God says that he wants our fasting to go beyond our own personal growth. He wants our growth to develop into service to others. He wants our fasting to lead us to be more kind and more charitable and more generous and more just. When we fast from anything, it breaks our dependence from that thing and helps us to depend on God to fill that void. So if we're fasting from food and we're feeling hunger, we want God to fill that void. If we're fasting from social media and this desire to have input, well, God is inputting his vision and his thoughts and his guidance into us. When we fast from... But true fasting is about more than what we give up. It's about applying what we have discerned and learned during the fast and then applying it in the form of ministry. So fasting is as much for other people as it is for ourselves. And when we fast and pray, it shows that we can get along. We can get along without eating for a while. We can get along without looking at my phone for a little while. I can get along without taking in whatever the news is for a little while. For many years as a youth pastor, I led our youth groups in the World Vision's 30-hour famine, in which you go 30 hours without eating food in order to raise awareness and money of world hunger. And the first-time participants are always interesting because they're like, there's no way I can go 30 hours without eating. Now, you got to remember, these are teenagers, okay? And teenagers, they just grab everything, consume everything within their reach, right? And so they're saying, there's no way I can do this. But then just the joy on their face when they hey, that wasn't so bad, was it? Now, part of the 30-hour famine is about raising awareness about world hunger. And so we have to discuss world hunger and how we can help with that. But it's easy to slip from discussing it and participating in it to bragging about it. And some of the youth before the 30-hour famine say, yeah, tomorrow night I'm going 30 hours without eating. And some of them during the famine were snapping pictures of themselves and posting them on Facebook where they're like, you know, all run down and they're tired. And their friends were saying, oh, I'm so sorry for you. And when I found that out, I sat them down and we had a discussion. For you see, we shouldn't fast from something in order to get attention. So if you fast from social media to make room for God, you shouldn't post, hey, okay, going off the grid for a while for my daily fast, or hey, I'm not going to be on social media today because this is my day to fast. Call me if you need me. In Matthew 6, 16 to 18, Jesus said, when you fast, don't look somber like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to make it obvious that they're fasting. When you fast, go about life as normal, so that no one can tell that you are fasting except for God. Our fasting is for our benefit in order to seek God's attention, not the attention of our friends. It's so that we can develop a closer relationship with God, not garner, you know, accolades and praise or you know, compassion. Friends, we all live busy lives. I know that. And our daily schedules are important. Even that time where we're just doing nothing, that can be important time. And it can be an essential thing. But personal time with God should be understood as also to be as essential as raising children, cooking meals, taking care of the house. It should be an essential part of our lives. And if you're finding that you don't have enough time in order to take some time to pray or get into God's Word, then I encourage you, spiritually fast from something to create that space. And I guarantee you God will fill that void. And you will find immediate benefits to that. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear God, during this day, help us to quiet all the thoughts that fill our minds. Lord, things like what are we going to do, who we must see, where are we going to go? In their place, we ask that you would give us a sense of your order, your peace, and help us to enter into your time. Help us to understand that you are in control and that we can trust you with our daily schedule. Help us to realize that nothing on our to-do list is more important than you. Reach down into our minds now and change the gears inside of us that want to race and want to roar. In place of turmoil, give us peace. Lord, in place of a busy schedule, help us to find that quietness. Then we will be more like Jesus, who taught us to make room for you in our crazy days. Teach us, Lord, to make room for you in all of our events and affairs. Then we will find rest. Then we will be at peace with ourselves and with you. Amen.